Okay, so we are in our third panel of the day, and we have two presenters. The first is Patrick Labuda, who's a PhD candidate in University of Virginia, although he's going on hiatus from that to do some important work working in Germany and Sudan on constitutional development in Sudan. Correct? And our other speaker is Matthew Shannon, who's a PhD candidate at Temple University, studying the history of American foreign relations. And I will let them introduce their work.
Good afternoon, everyone. And many thanks to UC Davis for organizing this conference. My name is Patrick Labuda, and as you just heard, the title of my presentation today is Human Rights, the International Criminal Court, and Perceptions of Sovereignty and Neocolonialism in Africa. I have the distinction of talking about a non-historical topic at a history conference, so I think this is going to be slightly different to some of the other presentations that you've seen today. But I hope that maybe we can situate this in a broader historical framework in the Q&A after my presentation.
Could you speak up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so this presentation is part of an ongoing project in which I want to critically assess the ICC's involvement in selected African countries. And today I'll be looking at three countries in more detail, Sudan, Kenya, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And what I want to do today, essentially, is describe very briefly the history behind the current standoff between the ICC and Africa, and then to examine some of the reasons why what was initially a cooperative partnership has in recent years simply fallen apart. And then I'm going to conclude with some thoughts about what this all means for the global human rights regime. So there's a lot of ground to cover, and I'm just going to jump right in. And perhaps the best way to explain the current stalemate between the ICC and Africa is to begin with a comment made by Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda, following the indictment of President Omar al-Bashir of Sudan in 2009. I'm going to quote. He said, "Rwanda cannot be a party to the ICC for one simple reason. With the ICC, all the injustices of the past, including colonialism, imperialism, keep coming back in different forms. They control you. As long as you are poor, weak, there's always some rope to hang you. ICC is made for Africans and poor countries. Two-thirds of the countries that have signed for this ICC are these poor countries. They didn't know they were signing for a rope to hang themselves." End quote. So the imagery and vocabulary used by Kagame in this passage are indeed powerful and disturbing. Essentially, he's accusing the Western-dominated ICC of participating in an old-style colonial lynching of black Africans. Kagame's comment represents perhaps a more extreme version of anti-ICC sentiment prevalent in Africa today. But what's also fascinating about this comment is that, in spite of what Kagame really claims here, the more prosaic truth is that Africans were overwhelmingly supportive of the court in its early years. So in the run-up to the 1998 Rome Conference, a host of African nations, NGOs, and civil society groups publicly supported the idea of an international criminal tribunal. And then African countries voted overwhelmingly in favor of the treaty at Rome. And then civil society really joined the global campaign to create the court after the Rome Conference. And so to contrast Kagame's comment with the official African position in 1998, I'm going to quote the Dakar Declaration, which was endorsed by the Organization of African Unity. They said in February 1998, "We affirm our commitment to the establishment of the ICC and underline the importance that the accomplishment of this court implies for Africa and the world community as a whole." End quote. So the question really is, in a way, and this is what I'm getting at, I mean, how did we get from the Dakar Declaration in 1998 to Kagame's scathing condemnation of the court in 2009? And part of the problem is definitely in the numbers. As of today, there are 120 signatories to the Rome Statute. 33 of them are African countries, and yet the court has opened 14 cases in 7 so-called situation countries, and all of them are in Africa. The 7 countries are Uganda, the Democratic Republic, the Central African Republic, Sudan, Kenya, Libya, and the Ivory Coast. So 5 countries are being investigated out of 120 that signed on to the treaty, and then 2 African nations have been referred to the ICC by the Security Council. The literature on the ICC in Africa has focused really on these numbers, and I think they're important to bear in mind, but I also think that focusing on just these numbers obscures a more complex reality, and a more complex picture of why many Africans are opposed to the court. And that's what I want to look at today. Now, the best way to trace the evolution in Africa's attitude toward the ICC would be to proceed chronologically, and that is what I do to some extent in my paper, but that would just take way too long. So instead, I want to focus on what are, to my mind, really the key criticisms of the ICC that have emerged in the course of the last 3 or 4 years. I should also say that many of these criticisms are something that I experienced firsthand as I was working in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2010 and 2011, and I was working with representatives of the Congolese government on Rome Statute implementation of legislation, and also a bill to create a hybrid war crimes tribunal in the DRC. And essentially during the course of 2011, all our efforts were torpedoed by the political establishment in the DRC. And each time we heard essentially the same set of criticisms being leveled at the international community and the International Criminal Court. And I can group them under 3 headings. Foreign meddling, that this was an infringement of Congolese sovereignty, and also neocolonialism. What's interesting, I mean, at the same time, I noticed that the exact same thing was happening in other African countries, neighboring countries, that I wasn't really familiar with before. Kenya,